Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Special Report. The holidays are often filled with togetherness, sharing, memories. But when one is caring for a loved one with dementia, these times can be stressful, disappointing, and sad. Wives, daughters, and daughter-in-laws often are caregivers, but many men are caretakers as well. Statistically, more women contract dementia and Alzheimer's disease than men. Many faithful husbands and partners find themselves in a caregiving role. Male Caregivers is offering a Navigating the Holidays with Dementia on Thursday, December 11th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the St. Joseph Library, 500 Market Street in St. Joseph, Michigan. In this 90-minute seminar, you will learn how to anticipate challenges, set realistic expectations, involve the person with dementia, and be prepared, safe, and flexible. Today, we are interviewing three of these spouses who are walking or have walked this journey. One leads a men's caregivers group, support group established 25 years ago and still going strong. Another is a member of that group, and a third who is starting a support group in the St. Joseph area, which was mentioned previously. We're reaching out to a representative of the Kalamazoo Area Alzheimer's Association and a counselor specializing in dementia care. Please join me in a word of prayer for all those individuals who are suffering from these diseases of dementia and their caretakers. Let us pray. Our great Heavenly Father, we just love you so much, and you love every human being that you created. Lord, we live in a world of sickness, and until such time that you come and take us away, we will be suffering with this and be assisting those who are suffering. Lord, be with us in this conversation. Help us to give a purpose, a hope, and a direction for those with the disease or helping out. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned earlier, we have one of those individuals who's starting the St. Joseph Care Group. His name is Sam Kerkorian. It's a new men's caregiver Alzheimer support group. Sam, thank you so much for reaching out and sharing about this needed support group, not only that is developing in St. Joseph, but needs to be in every community across the state, across the country, and around the world.
Tom, thank you very much. And I can't thank you enough for all of your efforts to help. I will tell you that in starting to develop this group here, I think 100% of the people that I have talked to, their eyes open up and they're all, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. Thank you. And that's the important thing here. It's much needed. And I can't thank you enough for helping us to get the word out.
Absolutely, Sam. You contacted me. You contacted the radio station. Sam, we decided to do this on Tuesday. You started contacting people. They all said yes. We have five guests that will be a part of this conversation. The three caregivers, including yourself, there will be the professionals in the field from the Alzheimer's Association, and we also have a counselor that will be helping. I'm looking forward to this program because of the healing and help that will take place. Do you have anything to add to that, Sam?
Well, Tom, again, my sincere thank yous for all of your efforts. You and I have been talking the last couple of days, and I think the best way to describe that is caregivers are not alone, and it takes a village, and this is exactly what is happening here. And that's why this program is so important to me. This particular program, as well as what we're trying to do with gathering a men's and starting a men's support group here in the St. Joseph, Michigan area. This is very personal to me. And because of my spouse being diagnosed with Alzheimer's and the struggles and challenges that have occurred, my main reason for trying to develop this, Tom, as we've mentioned, is that I have experienced so many things in taking care of her for the last almost 7 years now. Some of those things have been very, very positive. I've met incredible, wonderful people who are sympathetic, empathetic, extremely professional and helpful in and out of the medical field. But then I've also had a lot of, unfortunately, negative experiences and issues that popped up because information just is not flowing like this program getting to the people who really need the help and support. And so that's why it's such a blessing, really, and such a mission that I'm on and others are on, like yourself, even helping to get this word out. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. My goal here, Tom, is really to provide men with the information that I felt as I went through this journey I really needed and just couldn't get. I would spend hours and hours researching, calling people, navigating the healthcare system, trying to find resources. And that is just, it's like a full-time job in itself. And you can't do that when you are trying to take care of your spouse 24/7 with making sure that she's eating, making sure that she's safe, making sure that she's sleeping, making sure that medicine is being taken care of and distributed properly, helping her bathing, all of these things. It's a nightmare. Not to mention the fact that as a caregiver and her loved one, you are watching this person decline health-wise, and you are seeing changes in this individual. And so it all just boils down to it's an extremely, any caregiver who has cared for someone, not only with dementia, but all of the other diseases, totally understands completely. And so our goal is to get information to people with resources and what their needs are and get the proper information to make their lives a little bit easier. And that's what this is all about.
Sam, I think it will help our listeners. We're all touched. We're one or two degrees away, one or two relationships away from somebody with a form of dementia. But please share your journey. You shared some of the experiences that you had that many people may not realize the path you've had to walk.
Well, Tom, I think the first, what struck me most was I noticed some small changes in my spouse. Her name is Renee, and the smallest thing, such as being a little bit more agitated than she would normally be, forgetting her keys, her purse, and basically she would be crying at the very beginning of all this. She knew that something was wrong. She had troubles starting to make change at the grocery stores. These are small little signs that there is some issue. And the two daughters, Renee had two daughters previously. The two daughters were the ones that I'm so grateful for, because they actually said to me, "Sam, something is wrong with Mom." And again, I was, I guess, too close to the situation to even recognize that there's a problem. Once we recognized that there was a problem, we immediately acknowledged that and took action. saw a neurologist, and yes, it was a diagnosis immediately of Alzheimer's. So the issues of her slowly forgetting things and just being a little bit of a different person, it happened over a long period of time that we were just not in tune with. So once we recognized this, then the journey really began, because I didn't panic. I wasn't shocked. I kept the faith in saying that I am going to love her. I am going to be with her, and we're gonna fight this. Is really what the first reaction that I had, and I my whole goal was, I knew that at some point there would be some kind of a miracle drug or some kind of a way where we could reverse this, or if we could reverse it, then I was going to care for her and be with her as long as I could. And so that was the path that we set on. But the struggles came in because my whole, I guess, aspect of this is I cannot change and reverse the Alzheimer's. I can't cure cancer. I can't cure Parkinson's disease. But what I can do is, you know, get information and help and love her and deal with the situations at hand. And so that was part of the big journey. For years, Tom, I struggled again with getting, well, how do I find another, I wanted to see if there was some kind of cure out there or some kind of new research program. So how do I find out about those kinds of things? That was a struggle, and it still is today. One of the other big factors for me was when she was diagnosed, I had to stop working. And so because I could not leave her alone, one of the factors that I found was if I left her alone for a while, that she would not eat. So if I were gone for 5 or 6 hours a day working, and she was still able to manage most of the things herself, but she would just simply forget to eat. So it just got to a point where I had to stop working to be with her. So now you've got financial issues, and, you know, what do you do to replace that income? And so all of these factors and things come into being. The story ultimately was, Tom, for many, many years, and she's been diagnosed now 7 years ago, for the probably 5 years now, it was always a challenge, but we made it through. We loved each other, and we trusted, you know, that the Lord would take care of this and it guide us. And unfortunately, though, 2 years ago, things really started taking a turn for the worse. And what we had entered into was a stage in the Alzheimer's where she began to have increased wandering and just not sleeping. And I guess the medical terminology for that would be sundowners. So basically, we ran into a situation where she would not sleep for days, if not weeks at a time. So I was up with virtually 24 hours a day because you're concerned about her wandering down the stairs. I would find her downstairs in the middle of the night walking around, and someone with Alzheimer's, you can't have that. You're concerned about all the different things that someone like that may do, turn on the stove trying to cook and forget to turn the stove off. So it really became so stressful that I actually ended up having a heart attack. And at that point, the family made the decision that, you know, Sam, I can't take care of her anymore. So a year ago now, we actually placed Renee in a dementia care unit in South Haven, Michigan. The update on that is she is doing incredibly well. She has the agitation has minimized. She's getting three meals a day. The facility that she's in is immaculate. I know that they are taking care of her. She's clean. The hair is washed. So I'm extremely grateful. But as a caregiver now, the biggest struggle that I currently face, which led me to try and develop the Men's Alzheimer's Support Group, is what do I do now, Tom, with the rest of my life? How do I move on? My spouse is still very much alive. She knows me. She knows the dog. I go visit 3-4 times a week. But what do I do? I come home, the house is empty. I want to go back to work to keep busy and get the income that I lost, but I'm struggling with, A, I've been out of the workforce for 7 years, things have changed, and also the fact that I don't know whether to take a full-time job, because my heart and soul and focus is still with Renee. And there are times when I do need to go up there, and there are situations where they need caregivers' attention as well, my attention. But it's a problem, and that I guess God has directed me, because when it was mentioned to me, Sam, why don't you start a support group for men and share your knowledge and experiences to help them as well, I jumped on that. And I have found a renewed energy, a renewed purpose, and that's just been a godsend to me, because it really has made a huge difference. All of my family and friends, and my sister, and all my close confidants, saying, "Sam, you know, it sounds like you're doing so much better because you have a purpose now," and that's currently where we're at. So, again, my goal, Tom, is to develop this men's caregiver group, because I currently go to a number of support groups myself, but they're all women. And believe me, women are wonderful. They need the support. But I would like to really find out why we don't have more men, because they need the support, too, just like me.
Absolutely.
And I also have a selfish reason here, which is to basically build a relationship with other people, a guy that maybe I could, you know, go get a burger with and watch a ball game, or, you know, hey, we could talk sports or go see a movie together in lieu of the fact that my spouse is not with me right now. So these are the things that are going on, and it's only through people like you, Tom, and others who understand and are willing to step up and help that such a thing can happen.
Absolutely. Sam, we're going to take a break here. You've introduced me to the Lansing Men's Care Group, and we'll be joining Frank and also Dr. Norbert Kerr after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Strong Tower Radio, talking about the issues of dementia and caregivers.
Can I ask you to do me a favor? I'll get right to the point. We could use your prayers and financial support. Please remember to pray for Strong Tower Radio every day, and, if you think of it, more often. Also, we really need you to take some time to go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on that donate button. Do what the Lord impresses you to do. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with the second segment on dementia, Alzheimer, caretakers, and the seasons. We're talking with three gentlemen. We've talked to Sam already. He's my co-host. Sam, would you introduce our other two guests?
Tom, I'd be delighted to. And again, thank you for all of your efforts here today. Tom, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce Frank Carter and Dr. Norbert Kerr. These two gentlemen are basically the directors, if you will, or facilitators of a men's support group for caregivers who are taking care of loved ones with Alzheimer's. This group is in Lansing, Michigan, and I have spoken to both of these gentlemen when I was trying to, again, plan one locally here in St. Joseph, Michigan. They've been tremendous in giving me an insight. So I'd like to welcome them to this program. And let me ask, gentlemen, both of you guys, why did you get involved in this group? And what are some of the things that the men are saying, some of the common themes that are being expressed to you about some of the real issues that men as caregivers are facing? And just give us a little bit of an insight into what you do in your group.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. My name is Frank Carter. I currently serve as facilitator for the Men's Caregiver Support Group in Lansing. I started attending this group as an actual caregiver, as my wife developed Alzheimer's, and I wanted to get some support, and I started attending the group. The main portion of the group is to be able to talk directly to a group of individuals that are sharing and undergoing the exact same experiences that you are. And I think that's very important to show that you're not going through this by yourself, and that others are in doing the same things that you are. I think is the experiences with Alzheimer's behavior and some of the characteristics of the disease get very personal, very emotional, and very challenging. We hear all the time of, I need more patience, I need more resilience, flexibility. And this disease challenges all of those characters. I think just from the challenges that are most obvious are just the changes in personality and daily habits. As the Alzheimer's sufferer experiences some of the things where you just forget how to take care of yourself. You forget things that you've known all your life, and all of a sudden or gradually you lose those daily life functions, or the way to function, and it becomes a real challenge. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of flexibility. And maybe Norb can expound on that from his experiences.
Yeah, my wife Laura was diagnosed with Alzheimer's back in 2019, and I guess like a lot of people in that situation, I went out and read as much as I could and talked to the doctors, and I learned a lot, but I found I needed to a lot more support and knowledge. I went to several support groups, but heard about and ended up going to Frank's group that he's the leader of, and I found it was a terrific source of support for me in lots of ways. Knowledge. We've got guys in this group who are at every stage of this process, from just learning at the beginning of the disease to being widowers afterwards. So we've got a very wide range of experience, and people can share those experiences and help each other out. There's the emotional support side of it too, that Frank mentioned, that sometimes you're dealing with very painful, very difficult things. For me, one of the most difficult was when I finally realized I couldn't be the caregiver, the sole caregiver. I just wasn't able to manage it anymore and had to decide to rely on a memory care place. And that transition, making that decision, is really hard. And it turned out that all the other guys in the group who had to make that decision had similar experiences, and it was just helpful for me to help make that transition. Also, this is just a good group of guys. I made some good friends here, and that's been a big helpful thing. we're also able even to sort of provide concrete help to one another. As an example, this is one of the guys in the group wanted to bring his wife home from the memory care facility for Thanksgiving dinner, but she's in a wheelchair, and he has steps to his house, but I've got a little portable ramp that I use at my house, so I lent him the ramp, and he's able to get his wife home to be with the family for the holiday. So it's in so many different ways we support each other and help each other, and it's by common agreement of the folks in the group, this has been an important thing. We meet about once a month, and I look forward to the meetings and seeing these guys and catching up with what's going on with everybody.
I'd like each one of you to share a story that would help our listeners understand what you're going through. Sam told me a story about his wife. You know, they were in a public place, and his spouse went to the restroom. Sam, will you share that experience with our listeners? It touched my heart.
Tom, I thank you. Yes, believe me, that was a moment that I hours it seemed like that I won't ever forget. My spouse Renee, this was about a year ago, just shortly after she began a real dramatic decline, and then we ended up, as I mentioned, placing her in a dementia care unit. But we had gone to lunch at a restaurant, and I knew that she needed to use the restroom. So I escorted her to the ladies' room. I didn't go in because I want to give her her dignity. And, you know, it's obviously uncomfortable and awkward when a man goes into the ladies' room, even the circumstances. But I knew that she could at least go to the bathroom by herself. So I'm standing outside of the door of the ladies' room, and I, as a caregiver, you're always thinking two or three steps ahead. And I knew that she would just not remember to wash her hands. So what I did was I stepped away literally for a second or two to grab a towel or some form of a wet, you know, paper towel or napkin. And when I came back, I kept standing there and she's not coming out. So ultimately what happened was another lady was going into the restroom and I asked her to check and there's nobody in there. She had come out of the door while apparently I was away and walked outside of the restaurant and was literally walking around the parking lot. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I must have spent what seemed like an eternity trying to find her. And I kept asking waitstaff, did you see anything? You know, help me, please. I'm in a complete panic. And one of the experiences I had was one of the waiters finally said, yes, there is a woman walking around the parking lot. And after I went out there and walked around, still couldn't find her. But then suddenly I see her coming out of another restaurant next door. So this happens. That was just the most horrifying experience because, you know, anything could have happened in that quick moment. I'd just like to take a quick second and congratulate Frank and Dr. Norbert again because, you know, we talk about sharing things. I want to share, Frank and I were talking about similar experiences in the sense that I also, like Frank, kind of quit my job to take care of her. And we also moved, which, again, things that happen to families. We moved twice, actually, to be closer to family. And the camaraderie that you build among those in those support groups is absolutely amazing. So I think these are some of the things that features that really need to be talked about. And again, I congratulate Frank and Norbert for facilitating that group.
Let me share an experience that my father had. My mom had vascular dementia, and this happened while she was still living at home. She was somewhat wheelchair-bound, but as he went out to empty the garbage, He got locked out of the house on different occasions. There was a fear factor, anxiety, and he had to learn to carry the keys, even though he was just going out to empty the trash. Can Frank or Norbert, can you share experiences from your group of what these caregivers are experiencing, how it changes their lives?
I think just the daily experiences, much like Sam was describing, but also when it's time not to be driving anymore for the taking care of checkbooks, money matters. Some of those things are issues where you. Where you debate when is the correct time to do it, but just daily life things like Sam was talking about. My wife wandered off in one of the big large grocery stores, and we finally found her, and I was giving her this lecture about, you know, if we ever become separated, stay here because I'll always know. And I started realizing that why am I explaining this? Because she's not going to remember it. She can't remember it. So those are just emotional things that come up on a daily life, and they're very challenging. They require a lot of patience.
Yeah, the one of the things everybody has to deal with is. When your spouse can no longer drive, and that's a big transition for everybody, and everybody has a story to tell about how that turns out to be difficult. Another variation of that is some of our wives, when they learn about the disease, are accepting it and are happy, are willing to talk about it openly with family and friends, but quite a few of the spouses are reluctant to do that. My wife was one of those. She didn't want to hear the words Alzheimer's or dementia. And I think it was because she thought that people would hear that word, they would presume that she was at the advanced stages and that she wasn't able to do anything. And that creates problems, of course, when people notice that your spouse is having difficulty or struggling, but they don't know anything about the disease. You try to respect your spouse's wishes, but like a lot of things, you quickly learn you have to compromise and make all sorts of stopgap solutions to these problems. And it's very helpful when we talk together in the group to say, how did you handle this? And so, yeah.
It was interesting.
Gentlemen, I want to, since you talked about that, Norbert, how do you handle things? Real quick, if I can just share another story. The very beginning of the Alzheimer's journey, one of the first experiences I had as a man was trying to understand, you know, her needs and deal with the situation. But specifically, two things happened. One, she would want her purse every time we would go out at the very beginning, but she would take her purse and basically put it somewhere where only she knew, but she didn't know where it was. And so there were countless times when we would be ready to walk out the door and she would say, oh, my purse. I'd say, okay, honey, where is it? And we would spend an hour looking for her purse. I would actually take the purse, put it in a place where only I knew where it was, but she found it and she moved it. And then we were right back in the same situation. So I guess the moral of the story, since we're talking about men caregivers, the biggest challenge at the very beginning that I had was trying to understand what is important to her as a woman. And I was advised countlessly, just take the purse away. And I said, you know, guys, I can't do that. That purse is hers. That purse is important to her. So, you know, you just have to kind of figure out a way to deal with the disease while giving that person their dignity. And that's a real challenge in the very beginning sometimes.
Well, you're going to have to recognize that at certain points you have to take charge. and, right. And do things for the safety of your spouse or for the safety of other people. For example, when your wife wants to drive, when she's clearly not able to drive anymore, she's dangerous to herself and others, you've got to do things. Take the keys away. You've got to, even though it's something you would never do if your spouse were healthy. And it's a difficult process. As the disease progresses, you sometimes have to be more and more take charge. And it's difficult.
Fortunately, over time, she didn't realize that she needed the purse. So that battle ended, but yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right.
Well, in our next segment, we'll be talking to the Kalamazoo area Alzheimer's Association, Nicole, and we'll also be talking with Lori. She's a counselor that helps families work through these issues. Before we leave, Frank, will you tell our listeners how they can join your meeting the third Wednesday at 10 a.m.?
Yes, we meet every month the third Wednesday at 10 a.m., and we meet at the Delta Enrichment Center in Lansing, Michigan. That's located, the address is 4338 Elizabeth Road. That's 4538 Elizabeth Road.
And what part of town? What part of town is that? Delta Township on the west side, or is that someplace else?
It would be on the west side, yes.
Not too far from the Lansing Wall.
Yeah.
Very good. Any other, are you doing anything for the holidays as you get together with your group? Are you still going to meet the third Wednesday of December?
Yes, we will meet, have our regular scheduled meeting on the 17th of December, I believe.
Well, fantastic. I'm hoping that right now you're the only male caregivers of dementia care in the state, and we're hoping that with the December the 11th at 1 p.m. over in the St. Joe Library that Sam's group will be successful, and this will multiply. Frank, if somebody wants to start a group and wants to benchmark you, would you be willing to share some information?
I would be glad to help with anyone that wanted some information on how to do a support group. And of course, Nicole, with the Alzheimer's Association, has some training programs and some directions. They're always asking for volunteers. I serve as a volunteer for the Alzheimer's Association, and it's a worthwhile activity. I would encourage anyone that has some experience would be able to serve as a volunteer for the association.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Frank. Thank you, Norbert. We'll be right back. This is Strong Tower Radio. And we are talking about dementia and the caregivers. We'll be back after this break.
How would you like to give a love gift to your neighbor? Or maybe a word of encouragement to someone in a nearby town? Or help someone traveling through on vacation or business to find the answer to that life question that's been bothering them for so long? The best way to do that is by going to www.strongtowerradio.org and clicking on that donate button. By supporting Strong Tower Radio, you will do this and so much more. Won't you prayerfully consider making that love gift today?
We're back with a Strong Tower Radio special on dementia. We're talking about the caregivers, and we're talking about male caregivers. What's precipitating? This is a 365-day-a-year situation. These individuals, the caretakers, are even if they hand it off to somebody else because of the situation. Sam, you, he's my co-host. Sam, you had a heart attack, and that's when you had to hand over your spouse to the care, to a good caretaking place, and each one has their own story. But Sam, will you We're talking about the professionals in the field that we'll be talking to. Will you introduce our guests at this time?
Tom, I'd be delighted to. I'd like to introduce Nicole Harani. She is a coordinator with the Kalamazoo area chapter of the Association of Alzheimer's from Michigan. She is phenomenal. I can tell you that personally, not only in professional and as well as she does her job, but she has helped me a tremendous degree. She really is empathetic, sympathetic, and yet extremely knowledgeable and helpful. She is actually going to talk a little bit today about some tips and information specifically to help those caregivers dealing with someone, loved one with dementia, but during the holidays especially. So, Nicole, I'll give it over to you.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Sam. So, yeah, I am with the association. My office is out of Kalamazoo, but I serve about 12 counties in the lower part of Michigan. So I'm all over the place. Primarily what my job is to focus on caregivers and giving them the tools that they need to care for their loved ones. And that could be directing them to support groups where they can talk about their concerns, frustrations, sorrows, and just get the support that they need. Or also, we do a large part of what we do is provide education to caregivers. So we go all over the place educating people on what Alzheimer's is, how you get diagnosed, to very specifically, how do you deal with somebody who's experiencing communication deficits as a result of their dementia. We want caregivers to feel empowered. We want them to feel confident, and we want them to feel knowledgeable about caring for their loved ones. Another big part of what we do is connecting people to community resources, whether that be through our care consultation program, where people who are struggling can get a very specific care plan to help them navigate this, you know, the disease and the system that they have to, like Frank had mentioned, you know, navigating, you know, driving. I think it was Norbert that actually said that, driving and when to take away a license or just how to navigate all those aspects of things that come up with that. We also have our 1-800 number, which people can call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. This includes holidays, where you can just call and just talk to somebody and say, I hate this. What do I do? You know, just they can be a listening ear. They can point you in a good direction. And that's 1-800-272-3900.
So, Nicole, with Christmas obviously coming up and New Year's, what specific tips, and I know you're going to talk about this at our meeting on December the 11th, but what are some of the things that you would suggest caregivers do, or how can we help them to make that time a little bit easier?
That's a great question. I would say my biggest advice would be to try to keep as normal as a routine as possible. And what I mean by that, you could be navigating another home, somebody else's home, but try to keep meals on track. Try to keep medications on the right track. Try to keep bedtimes the same. As normal as you can, so anticipating that. Another big one would be to ensure that safety is a top priority. So if you're going out of your normal place, you know, decide where are the exits, where's the bathroom, you know, how am I going to navigate those type of things. But I would say the number one thing is just enjoy the time that you have. Don't stress too much about what circumstances you are dealing with at the moment. There are going to be times of joy, and just you know, enjoy those times. There's going to be times of laughter. Enjoy those times of laughter. Another big tip is don't use the words, "Do you remember?" A lot of caregivers want to say, "Do you remember?" Or loved ones will say, "Do you remember this?" I always say, just change the narratives to, "I remember. I remember when we had Christmas and this happened." Those type of tips is coming forth.
So do you modify your holiday plans at all? You know, the family is sensitive. It may very well be a matriarch that is experienced, or a patriarch, but do you possibly come to their house as long as you're able to do that? Or
I think I would consult the caregiver, because coming to the house can mean a lot of stress, right? So for instance, my mother is also diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she no longer can do the meals. She can't clean the house the way that she would want it to, and she expressed to us a couple of years ago that was too stressful for her. And so we changed the location to my sister's house, and now we go there, and my mom just has to show up and enjoy the grandkids and enjoy the environment. So I would leave it up to the caregiver, because, you know, having to navigate care and then also cook a meal or clean the house, you know, get tables out, you know, all that stuff can be stressful for the person. And a lot of facilities, when you have when you have your loved one in a facility, they also have rooms that you can do a shared meal. So if you want to not bring your loved one out of a care facility, you can also ask the facility for a space to maybe bring Christmas to them, so they don't have to navigate out of the facility.
I really like that idea. I think it's accurate and very good. Very good, Nicole.
Well, I observed that just recently. My dad's in a assisted living, and a family. It was a beautiful thing to watch. We were over there for a school program, and my wife's school was performing, but they were in one of the rooms, just as you said, Nicole, a celebrating event to, I don't know if it was a sister, it might have been a sibling, actually, and they all came, and they had a merry time. But the location doesn't matter as long as everybody's comfortable and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And a lot of times, as they spend more time at a care facility, that becomes home to them, and that becomes familiar to them, and taking them out of that environment can be very stressful. So,
well, Nicole, would you share, of course, we have the event that is right upon us, the one that Sam is leading out on December the 11th at the St. Joe Library in St. Joe, Michigan, but are there other events? You serve a 12-county area that our listeners might want to participate in.
Yeah, and you can find events happening. They're all across Michigan. There's someone like me that services every county in Michigan. If you go to our website at ALZ, as in zebra, .org, /C as in cat, R as in rabbit, F as in Frank. So it stands for Community Resource Finder. You can put your zip code in, and any event across the United States, actually, if you put in your zip code, you can find what is local in your area.
Fantastic. Now, Sam, at your event, you're going to have some presenters. Who all will be presenting?
Well, I Nicole is going to expand on what she had just mentioned. I think that's very important with the holidays. You know, again, additional tips and a little bit more detail about, you know, what to do. And even I'm going to go one other thing. Medications become an issue at that time, because if you're in a care facility or you're at someone else's home, medications need to be taken at certain times and in certain ways. So all of these factors really do come into play. So Nicole and I will be pretty much talking about that. And then we're obviously going to launch the men's support group program. It's really key to us to try to develop and bring as many men to this program, the first one we can, so that then we can get a base of men. And now we can determine how to move forward with future programs. Do we divide into smaller groups and get a little bit more personal? Or do we do maybe a monthly or maybe a quarterly bigger event? So everything kind of hinges on how many men we get, what are they saying, what are their needs, and we can assess it there going forward.
So you need a critical mass, but would you invite people that might be outside the area that may just come for one time just to give you moral support and share their experience?
Absolutely. I mean, the more people there, as we were talking, Tom, you know, even since this broadcast goes across the state, someone in Flint, Michigan may have a relative in the Lansing area, or they may have a relative in the St. Joseph area that may need this. So the more people that we can bring attention to this matter, the more the word spreads, and then hopefully the more we'll get the support that they need.
Fantastic. We want to.
Can I mention just real quick that Frank's group also does offer a Zoom option. So maybe later if Sam wants to do that as well. But you can join via Zoom for Frank's if you're not in the Lansing area. So if you want to sign up for that, just, again, reach out on our 1-800 number and we can get you that Zoom link.
That is super information. Hey, Sam, Nicole, thank you so much for being a part of our conversation here.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
We'd like to turn it over to Lori. Sam, I'd like you to share Lori's background and her value to your group.
Well, once again, Tom, thank you. And I'd like to introduce Lori Gordon. She and I have been chatting for some time now, and she is a licensed counselor, a professional. But what struck me is she specifically deals with basically helping support caregivers. As someone that tried and tried for a long, long time to find the right support group or maybe even a counselor that I could go to, I had never experienced anyone or coming across anybody that I felt as comfortable in talking to as Lori, because she is really completely understanding of what's going on. So Lori, with that, welcome. And I have a first question for you. One of the things, Lori, that I hear and even experience myself, but I hear this from men and women, especially with men, who when they recognize and that their spouse has Alzheimer's or dementia, one of the biggest problems that they have is, man, I have to do the laundry and I have to do the shopping and, you know, and I got to clean the house. And some men become very, very upset at that because they're not good at it. They don't do it generally, but there's an extra burden now that comes on men, especially doing these kinds of things. Their to-do list gets crazy. What advice and suggestions do you have that can help men maybe navigate that a little bit easier?
Well, Sam, you bring up a great point, and that's that in general, what happens is, you know, that your partner now becomes your quote-unquote ward, right? So, like, you no longer have a partner in your spouse. Now your spouse is who you are caring for, and all of the responsibilities and assistance that you formerly got from them, now you are shouldering. And it's, you know, there's a double cost, or multiple costs there, because now your load is heavier and much more comprehensive. But there's also then what emotional things happen because of that, right? And especially for men, the idea of, I'm supposed to be capable, I'm supposed to take care of everything, I'm supposed to solve and fix things, and yet that sense of, I'm disempowered here, like, how do I do all this? And so what I find my service comes most into play is helping navigate the emotional trauma and psychological processing that needs to happen, right? Because life is no longer what it used to be, and it's becoming more and more chaotic, in a sense that we used to be able to have routines, we used to be able to know how things were going, and often a spouse, a wife, is not the person she used to be, even personality-wise, and navigating all of those things. So helping navigate depression and anger and understanding what happens in the course of the disease.
One of the big questions also that I wanted to ask you is, what advice, one thing that's left out of this equation so often is the dynamics of family. So there are siblings or other parents or relatives, aunts and uncles and cousins. What advice would you give a caregiver in navigating family roles? And one of them specifically being, you know, siblings may say, you're not doing enough to help mom, or,
exactly.
So how do you deal with all of that?
So, Sam, you bring up such a vital point, because sometimes the people who we need to be helping us the most are unintentionally making things more difficult because they lack understanding, because they lack awareness. One of the things that I stress when I meet with caregivers is, there are really 6 strategies that can just kind of help navigate daily living. And first and foremost is, you got to take time to breathe and pray, right? Like, give everything to God, right? But you also have to know how to take care of yourself in your physical body. And some of those things are, daily tools, like how you're talking to yourself, how you're taking care of yourself. One of those is also understanding who helps you and who doesn't help you. And it is okay when you have family members or close friends who don't understand, it is okay to distance yourself from them. That's not where we go normally. I need to do, right? But you're already so stretched as a caregiver. And if there are things other than and individuals other than the person you're caring for, other than your spouse, your wife, as we talk about, supporting men, to draw the line and establish boundaries is just plain good self-care. And if you are not taking care of yourself, you are not taking care of your loved one with Alzheimer's.
Absolutely.
And understanding that. There's a startling statistic that says that the caregiver often goes first.
Mm.
And
yes,
Sam,
ma'am.
You experienced kind of like a wake-up call in that regard, right? You had a heart attack.
I did, yes.
And that is a very common outcome of being a caregiver, is that your health goes and declines, and then literally the husband passes first.
And that's a tragedy, and that just compounds the tragedy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so my work with caregivers is predominantly, okay, let's, you know, whatever you need, you tell me what you need, but we're going to make sure that we take care of you. We're going to make sure that you are not getting lost in the shuffle. So if you need more information, let's supply more information. But how are you taking care of you in the process?
Well, very good.
That's such an interesting point, because at least, I know it's for so many in my case as well, you know, all of that is your efforts are given out of love for her or him. And,
absolutely.
You know, you don't think about yourself. It's like, okay, it's okay if I don't sleep as long as you sleep. Okay.
Right.
And so that's where a lot of that dilemma and, you know, problems come in.
You know, this is such a conversation, Sam. I think that this deserves a separate conversation and a separate program.
It does. It there's so much to it, and I don't even think we scratched the surface. It certainly does deserve future conversations.
Well, Sam, why don't you give close out the program with the information of how to attend this inaugural event?
Well, Tom, once again, I cannot thank you enough, and we're just so grateful for the information. On December the 11th, this is going to be the launch program for future caregiving group meetings specifically designed for men. We really want to get information to the men, because they are not coming out in the way that women are to get the help and support that they need. So this event is going to be at the St. Joseph Public Library on Market Street in St. Joseph, Michigan, starting at 1:00. It'll be about an hour and a half, so 1 to 2:30. On Thursday, December the 11th, I will be talking about, again, the future plans, and Nicole Harani will be giving a lot more details about how to navigate the holidays. But it's really critical that we get men to show up, because no one can help anybody if the men don't show up. And that's what we're really trying to focus on. The more that come, then we can develop future plans and future strategies. It's also going to be critical on the 11th, Tom. What I want to do is I'm going to ask the guys there, guys, you know, what are your major challenges? What do you really want, so that we can then develop specific programs to bring in experts in various fields. Maybe we have Laurie come and talk a little bit about family dynamics. Maybe we bring in a neurologist to discuss more about the disease specifically. So there's so many different things. We might bring in someone from hospice care so they can understand that, or different facility directors of dementia care units. So everything kind of hinges on, what do the men want? Why aren't they coming out? Let's get them out there, and then we can determine programs geared to help them as best we can.
Very good. I want to thank you, Sam, for co-hosting this program for Strong Tower Radio. I'm Tom Majeure. Bye now.